Hey everyone, this is Isaac Maddox, and I'm the pastor of Activate Church, and this is our podcast. Remember, you can subscribe to our podcast and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. I hope this message blesses you, encourages you, builds your faith, and I hope you enjoy the message.
Yeah. Dads, we love you. Happy Father's Day. Come on, everybody stand up. Go meet someone that you have not met. You can keep the music going. That's good. Meeting new people, music pumping in this room. Go meet Chris and Heidi's new baby. Maybe you want to go smother all these kisses. I'm sure that's what they want. They want to be attacked with love. Go meet someone you don't know. This is church. This is not a Christian club. This is church. Good. Come on, man. School's out. School is almost out. Get your Bible. Say hi to somebody. Say, good to see you. Good to see you. It's always good to hear from you. That energy is so good. That Tasha energy. All right, get your Bibles. Say, you look good. Thanks for coming to church. Happy Father's Day. Dads, we love you. Thanks for coming to church on Father's Day and celebrating all that God's doing. Man, it's good to be here. It's good to be in church. Get your Bibles out. Get your notebooks. We went for it first service, and we're going to go for it second service. If you want to be a part of our Bible college, let us know. This year, the main, kind of one of the main focuses is a one year certificate of theology along with practical ministry. You're going to get immersed into our staff and our culture. I think it's going to be just an incredible, incredible. Pray about taking a year and serving God. Amen. And especially if you're getting out of high school or even in some college flux periods of life as it goes in young adult years, come on out and talk with us. And I'm going to recruit you. Okay. I'm on a recruiting mission. Amen. Anyways, everybody good? This is a church that believes in the Word of God. Amen. Amen. So hopefully you brought your Bible. Get a Bible. Get a book as we break away from screens a little bit. Let it become your little travel buddy wherever you go. You underline it. You highlight it. And you read through the Bible at least, you know, fully in a year. And just soak in the Word. 5 chapters a day at least is what it takes to get through the day. If that sounds super religious, I'm sorry about that. But we live in a time of day where you get one little verse on that app, and we're trying to just break through some of that and get back to spending hours in the Word. Amen? Come on. Come on. Gary and Brittany are married. How's it going? I see you. I see you holding elbows or whatever it is. So anyways, we celebrated their wedding a couple weeks ago, and Gary gave me some new golf clubs, and they didn't help, so I don't know. It's got to be the clubs. Can't be my swing. Amen? Amen. Well, I'm excited. It's Father's Day. I want to preach a message from the life of David that I think will bless you. And how many of you just are thankful for our worship team? Come on. Come on. Thank you for dedicating your lives. This is one team that requires full dedication. I would highly recommend not to be on the worship team, okay? Be on the coffee team. It's easy. Kyle got here at 7 and getting nitros hooked up. He's like, yeah, sure. It's easy. It's easy. Jess, I just saw you as a weapon. Praise is a weapon. And I just saw you, your strength and the anointing on your life, all of it is for a purpose. You're a powerful woman, you know that. But I just saw that a fresh praise thing on you, and it's bringing breakthrough, and there's authority, and there's anointing, and there's purpose to all that you've been through to bring a level of praise back to the church that hasn't been seen. And we just thank you and thank God for a fresh anointing on your life. Amen. Come on. Come on. Johnny, I got nothing, but I love you. Amen. All right. 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. If you've got it, shout a big amen. And Let's go to verse 1. Now it happened, when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and attacked it and burned it with fire, had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him, we're going to read this whole story. This might be a lot of Bible for you, but that's good. Amen. This is just going to get you ready for this week as you jump into the word. And so David came to the city where it was, burned with fire, their wives, everyone had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. His own men spoke of killing him, because the soul of all the people was grieved. People attack you typically because they're grieving. Even in church sometimes, and all of you are wonderful, beautiful people, and sometimes churches mess up and things mess up, but oftentimes, man, we're working through our own personal grief, and that's why we have to have grace on each other, because it's typically an inner thing happening, and they're grieving. David strengthened himself, one of the most iconic verses in the Bible. David strengthened himself in the Lord, his God. I want to preach on this morning, and it's a subject that is mysterious. It's that David, if you can hear me, forgive me for probably preaching this a little wrong, but I'm going to do my best to describe possibly what this moment looked like and what it meant. And then David said to the priest, "Bring me the ephod." And David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue this troop, and shall I overtake them?" And he answered and said, "Pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." Someone shout a big recover all. Recover all. Recover all. We can't go back. We can't go back. And so with some things, we need to recover all. Some of us need to recover. Now, if we sit in our, well, you know, it's a real bummer that I have to recover it. Yeah, okay, how long are we going to talk about this? It's a real bummer. Yeah, so let's go recover all. So David went, he and 600 men who were with him, and they came to the brook where those stayed who were there left behind. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 stayed behind, who were so weary that they could not cross the brook. Then they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David. And they gave him bread and he ate, and they let him drink water. And they gave him a piece of cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. Just focus. I know we're talking about food. Just focus. So when he had eaten, his strength came back to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk water for 3 days and 3 nights. Then David said to him, "To whom do you belong? Where are you from?" And he said, "I'm a young man from Egypt. My master left me behind because 3 days ago I fell sick. We made an invasion of the southern area and the territory which belongs to Judah and of the southern area of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire." And David said to him, "Can you take me down to this troop?" Some relationships are complicated, amen? So he said, "Swear to me by God that you will neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I'll take you down to this troop." And when he had brought him down, there they were, spread out all over the land, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil which they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from the land of Judah. Then David attacked them from twilight until the evening of the next day. That's why sometimes these men, I mean, I've chopped wood for a couple of hours. I've never flung a sword all day. These guys had some forearms, I think. And David attacked them all day. Not a man of them escaped, except for 400 young men. Just a bunch of little weenies had to get out of there on their camels and fled. So David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives. They recovered all. I want to speak this morning on it's time to deal with it. It's time to deal with it. It's time. Yeah, but we talk about it all the time. Do you? Does it come up all the time and you just table it? Let's just table it. Have you actually been able? It's okay. Demons are coming out. Amen. Of the young people. I love you, buddy. I'm just joking. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in this church. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing around the world. We thank you, God, that it's Father's Day. We get to celebrate, Lord, every father, every dad, every future dad in this room. Lord, we thank you for the families, Lord, in this place. And Lord, we thank you for the journey, for all the things we've gone through, all the things we're going to go through. But we just pray in this moment in time, God, we pray for strength. And we pray for your word to come, Lord, to every family, every mom and dad, every situation. Lord, just that life and encouragement. We just relinquish, Lord, all that we are unto you and say, Lord, we need you in this place. Would you come and heal? Would you come and speak? Would you come and deliver? Would you come and do what only you can do, God? We need you. Let fresh faith come into this place. We're not playing games in this place. This isn't just hype. This isn't just a service. This isn't just something we do. God, this is, we're here because of you. We're here because we need you. Lord, we believe in you. Some of us have been serving you for years, and sometimes that works against us. We get a little familiar. It's like Nazareth. Lord, wherever you're from, we get a little familiar, and you could do no miracles because of the lack of faith in the familiarity of the people who grew up with you. Some of us have grown up with you, and we pray, Lord, for fresh faith and fresh fire to come to every person in this room. Lord, whether someone in this room has not ever even walked with you or they've walked with you their entire life, we pray for a fresh faith and encounter with you to happen in this place. And everybody shouted a big amen. 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 Help me preach this morning. Amen. Talk to me and receive it and say amen and get it. I'm telling you, it's good for your soul. Amen. Come on. So I'm a generous person. Any generous people in here this morning? Consider yourself not a stingy person. They walk by the person with the sign and they're like, no, I'm not gonna do it. I don't know why I turned into a British man all of a sudden, but I'm not gonna do it. I don't know. People are like, don't give them it's gonna help them with the drug habit. I'm like, I don't know. I just have to just $10. There you go. Go get a cheeseburger, man, or crack. I don't know. But I hope it's a cheeseburger. I hope it's a cheeseburger. Well, it's not funny. I'm a generous person. I don't mind going out to eat and, you know, which is crazy now. Nowadays, you go out to eat and you feel like you're in just full-blown sin because you get the meal, or you get the receipt, and you're like, have to take a loan out. For you're like, do you guys have financing for this steak that I just bought? My goodness. And so you feel already this guilt, but the service was so good. You tip at least 3%. Amen? Come on. Who is this? 20%. 20%. I feel like I'm discipling people here out of COVID. Maybe. If the service was good. But if you lived in Australia where they pay everybody more and they like really love that, our waiters make more than America. You're like, yeah, but we have this system called tips where we actually get good service. So we see the person after they bring the water. You don't see anybody in Australia. They come and that's it. Just say goodbye. There's food's coming in an hour. Bread will probably not make it. And it's definitely not going to be any refills. Amen. And so I feel like I'm preaching in Australia all of a sudden. Everybody's offended. Loosen up. It's all right. So I love the service-oriented culture of our country. I think it's beautiful. But this thing happened after COVID. I don't know about you, but I don't like tipping like drive-through people. Like I don't. And again, if you're working a drive-through, I love you. You're working hard. You're paying the bills. You're doing a good job. But I don't know if I want to give into that because it's just a little weird. I don't. Do you remember the first time you experienced that? You go through Victorico's. I love Victorico's, and I want to buy the burritos that I feel like used to cost $8. Now they cost $80. I don't know. Like inflation's really. Do you just want to like? Someone needs to stop this quick. Like I went to Lowe's and a rake was like $1,000, and I'm like, this needs to end now, or I'm gonna start making my own tools. I'm going Amish up there in Washougal, man. We're making our own stuff. That's it. Yeah. So anyways, I remember the first time I go there and I order my burritos and it's like, again, it's $1,000. So I already start to feel guilty. Like, Lord, is this being a steward of your money? Like I am breaking the bank here, you know, for these burritos. And then the little screen comes and they give you the screen. And I remember the first time I was like, you know, I was like, what's happening? They're like, go ahead. And I'm like, so now I got to insert my card? And the person's like shaking, you know, because I didn't. And I'm like, It's like turned into a game. I'm like, I miss those days of pre-COVID. I just hand you my card and you just take care of it. And then you give me my food. Now it's this whole stressful interaction where they hand me the screen and I got to get my card in there. And then they just go, you can choose. And I'm like, I already ordered. What do you mean I can choose? And they look at you with this face of like, whether my kids are going to eat tonight or not. And I'm like, I kid you not, the first button is 25%. I'm like, but you want me to tip you? I was like, you want me to tithe? You want me to tip you 25% for handing me my food? And again, but I'm looking at this face. And it is. It's like literally like, let my kids eat tonight. You know? Do you love orphans or not? You're like, I feel like if I push nothing, it's going to be I hate orphans. And so 25%, 20, and then the lowest is 15. And again, I bought like $80 of burritos. So you do the math. I could, but I'm not going to. I need to preach right now. And that's the other part of my brain. So I'm like, you know, is there like another option? Is it only 15% for you handing me my food? And I'm having this moment. You ever had these existential moments in real life where you're kind of like, I don't want to be rude. It's like, what's going on? Like, it's not. I know it's not you. You represent the man behind the iron curtain that made this all happen. So I'm sort of like, guys, there's like a tip button over here. With the fast food. I remember the first time, and we're kind of laughing, and then I couldn't say no because those eyes, they were looking at me. So I pushed, I don't know, 20%, I guess. I'm like, okay, sign up with my finger. And then the kids are like, well, Dad, you know, it's okay. You know, it's just service oriented. You know, Dad, like you say. And I'm like, I know, right? They're like, you didn't give, right? I'm like, I gave. And they're like, hold on, you gave? I'm like, yeah, I was caught in a conundrum. I was preaching to you one thing and doing another. Hey, welcome to being a pastor's son, okay? I'm like, listen, I'm caught in the middle. And so what happens in real life in these conversations, especially as dads, you kind of go from venting to joking to correcting. Listen, boys, sometimes I'm like, I didn't know what to do. Dad, you seem very clear on what to do. Well, I know, I just, it's weird. I was just venting to you and just explaining that this whole thing is kind of weird that we tip at these service-oriented industry and then everything, inflation. Is like, what are you talking about, Dad? I'm like, have you ever been in a moment that started out funny and it's not funny? And your kids and your wife's looking at you and then the little comments, then the, you know, everybody's chirping in and, well, you started it. I didn't start anything. Yeah, you ever, how all of a sudden the conversation is 60 miles an hour down the wrong way and you're like, what's happening? And so as a dad, you're like, never mind. Don't worry about it. And then you're kind of mad that everyone's mad and then they're mad that you got mad, and it's just like, tag, you're it. And you're like, someone stop this gang warfare in our car right now of attacking each other. And it's like, what are we fighting about? The worst fights are the fights about nothing. And then as a dad, you say, oh, guys, I'm sorry. And, you know, I'm sorry for nothing, but someone needs to say sorry. And you find yourself in these moments where you're just like, listen, move on. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Yeah, but Dad, what is it? You're like, I don't really know. I was just kind of venting. I was just kind of annoyed. I'm talking to you guys about, well, what do you think about it, Dad? I don't know what I think about it. Let's just not talk about it anymore. This is annoying. You're like 20 minutes deep into something where you're just like, let's just, and now your burrito doesn't taste good and then the salsa spills and then just life goes weird and you want to quit as a pastor with salsa all over your, and you're just like, you know, let's just move on. So many conversations that are just complicated and funny and you, I was joking. Yeah, but you didn't seem like you were joking. I was joking. Well, I'm not joking. What is joking, really? Because sometimes joking is used in a functional way to discuss a very intense message. Just very intense. Hey, do you think we can maybe buy less at Amazon? You know what I'm saying? Like, doesn't need to be heavy. But what do you mean by that? You buy more Amazon than I buy Amazon. I know, but we just said that we were going to, hey, can you take the garbage out? Hey, can you do the dishes? Hey, can we just do what we said we were going to do? Well, yeah, when you start doing what you said you were going to do. Ho, all the dads in the room. I mean, there's just so many conversations that dads are supposed to navigate. And it's difficult because a lot of times we start the conversation. All right, guys, let's talk about church today at lunch. This is going to be great. Everybody's like, and no one's talking. Hey, go ahead. I don't know what to say. Well, you should have something to say. And you've got grace for about 5 minutes. It's okay, guys. Go ahead and share. It's like the dad's out there trying to be a dad. And then everyone's like, Dad, we don't really want to talk about this. And then it's sort of like, well, we should. We should want to talk about this. We should share our hearts. Dad, you never do. Woo. See, I know how to raise toddlers. Just spank them. All you people don't spank your kids. Good luck with that. No discipline. Everybody running amok. But this teenage thing, because I don't spank him anymore. I'm like, Jude, on my lap. Don't question who I want to tip or not. Whoosh. Yeah, he's like bigger. Jude, come here. Come here, Jude. Whoosh. Now he's talking back, and now he has questions, and he's got good points. Now he's got me in a bit of a pickle, and I'm like, don't put baby in a corner. No one puts baby in a corner. Isaac, what are you talking about? I'm just setting the scene here. Life is very simple and complicated and convoluted, and there's these moments where you're, especially as dads, where we're called to navigate, and so are out because, especially as men, we're supposed to go first. We're supposed to lead. And that has to do with church, and it has to do with conversations, and there's so much weight. The one out in front is taking the headwinds. And so when family and coworkers and whatever it is, we feel attacked, it's very vulnerable, and we're like, you know what? Forget this. This is for the birds. I need a couple other people with me, because this headwind of culture and this headwind of family time and headwind of prayer and praise. I mean, men, just go home, put on a Hillsong worship album, and go, we're going to praise Jesus up in this house. And just have everyone stare at you and go, Dad, what are you doing? That's what I'm talking about. It's difficult to take the weight of change and complication and conversation. But if you wait for everyone to come along, that's not what God called. Man, God called you and appointed you to cover your family. And you know it. And it's not easy. And so every once in a while, God will get you alone to show you how to deal with something. Because I don't know if we're dealing with everything when we say, let's move on. It's better if we don't talk about it. It's better if we just move on. Maybe we've gotten good at not dealing with it. And so when God gets us alone and gets us into a financial bind or a relational bind, we freak out because we don't have those muscles. And we go, we don't know what to do. It's because we're not good at actually dealing with what we need to deal with. Am I preaching to anybody? Is anybody at all connecting with this? Just a few people? Just a few people? And so someone has to deal with it. I think God's called the fathers in this room. I think that's why it is a difficult sometimes thing. When we talk about fatherhood, it hits a nerve. Because we have a lot of fathers and a lot of men that couldn't handle that and couldn't figure that out. And our expectations, especially on dads, is a big thing because you represent Father God. And so the whole father thing is a big issue. And so a lot of us, we've thought that we dealt with it, but we didn't deal with it. Because we just moved on. Just shut up, eat your burrito. We're not talking about this right now. We're not talking about this right now. And so God says, it's time to deal with it. We're just exhausted by the toll the conversation has taken. So by the time we go, okay, we're going to deal with this, man, it is really, really difficult because it is a cross. It is a Christ-like, oh, men, wives, submit to your husbands. Oh, we love that one. Men, lay down your lives. Husbands, lay down your lives as Christ laid down his life. And so oftentimes when you're in the car discussing salsas and tips and questions and just and all the things, you feel like, man, this feels like a cross. Yeah, it does. And so it's time to deal with it. And so God, I believe, got David. He puts people in situations where you go, you're not going to be able to squeeze out of this one. This time, for the last decade, I've allowed it. But I'm not going to let you squeeze out of this one. I'm not going to let you blame out of this one. You're going to deal with this. So David and his mighty men, they come back from trying to make a deal with the Philistines. Now, this is the first time that David's leadership is starting to be questioned. Because usually David, he You give him Goliath, he'll kill him. You give him a keyboard, he'll cast out a demon from Saul. You give him a question, he'll have the right wise answer. So David had the Midas touch. Anything that David did just turned to gold. David was on fire at a young age. Everybody liked him. Everybody talked good about him. Whatever he did, you give him a lion, he'd kill it. You give him a bear, he'd kill it. Whatever it was, David could handle it. But now David's in this season. For the first time, his men are questioning the leadership on his life because God will allow you to see. God will pull back the veil. Do you remember the first time you saw your parents as human and you had to make a decision whether you were going to honor them or not? Because honor has nothing to do with who they are necessarily. It has to do with who you are. And so it's a test of honor. So God will always let you see the veil. I'm not talking about serving leaders that are abusive or weird, but God will allow you to see the chink in the pastor's armor to allow you to decide whether you're going to lead or that person has to be perfect, but there are no perfect people. So David is in the valley of the shadow right now. And things are not clicking, and the very people that he poured into now want to kill him. The very people he raised are turning their backs on him. Why? Because pain will make you hate something you love. And so David is leading his men back to Ziklag, and it's a wilderness season. It's a gray season. Wilderness is transition, and it's difficult because you're not in one area and you're not in another area. You're in flux. And so this is often where the Holy Spirit will lead you in, but this is also where the enemy will attack you. It's a whole nother message. We'll come back to it. But these men are hungry for home. They're yearning for their wives and for their kids and for Father's Day. They've been off at battle and they know the Traeger's on, man. The ribs are being lathered up and the pies are being made. And David, see, sometimes it isn't that you're going through some expectation. We love that word. Oh, you just had some high, we use it all the time on each other. Oh, you just had bad, wrong expectations. You just got wrong. Sometimes you just want normal. So sometimes you're just saying, well, I just want normal. It's been so tough. Oh, I just want to breathe. I just want some normal. I just want to go home and play half a game of Monopoly. Who plays a full game? Amen. I mean, I just want to go home. I just want to watch a show. I just want to have a meal. I just want some normal. I just need some normal. And I mean, David is a warrior. David laid his life down. David's used to, this is not just a metaphor. This is reality where 10,000 women would come out and sing for him. And somehow he was humble. Men. And I love my wife. I mean, do you imagine how big my head would be if I came into church and 10,000 girls were like doing tambourines? It's like, Billy Graham preached 1,000 great messages, but Isaac, 10,000. Woo! Right? And I'm like, ladies, calm down. Where's my coffee? Yeah, I mean, that was like intense. This is David. David is used to the entire city celebrating him. This is the type of man. This is the type of worshiper. This is the type, because again, what kind of man is a warrior and a creative? You don't typically, besides me and Andrew Mofford, you don't really see a lot of men that are good at both. Amen? I'm joking. So David could kill a giant, and David could cast out a demon with his worship song. So this is an intense level of anointing on his life, and yet he was a servant of God. He didn't care. He just humbled himself. He just loved God. He was serving God. He was trying to just follow God. But his men are starting to question him because they wanted to kill Saul. He had an opportunity a few chapters before this in the cave to kill Saul, and his men are like, kill him. This is your time. Saul's trying to kill you. His men are like, kill him. And David's like, I can't touch the Lord's anointed. No, I can't touch the Lord's anointed. So David's in flux. Can you serve people that are in wildernesses? Can you serve people that are trying to figure it out, or do they need to be perfect? And so David's in this season where he's trying to follow the plan of God, but he can't seem to get traction. And he's in this. This is the context. And so his men are just craving home. Oh, they can just picture the pie, and they can just picture seeing their kids and giving them kisses. But they approach Ziklag, and they don't smell the Traeger. They smell the foul smell of ash and burnt hay and wood. And all their homes are gone. Their homes are burnt to the ground. So we have this incredible weariness of transition in this season of no traction and trying to figure out God and trying to follow David. It didn't seem to be going right. And they just want home. And when they get home, it's burnt, it's gone. And they're trying to find their wives, they're trying to find their kids, and there's no one there. And the Bible says that they had no more power to weep. They were, if you've ever been there, you've wept at such a level that you have no more tears to weep. And the weeping has exhausted you. And the Bible says that the men, after they had no more power to weep, turned on David and wanted to kill him. And now we are not David's mighty men this morning. We are David. Amen? Say, I'm David. I'm David. I've gone through the same weeping as you. I've gone through the same trial as you. I've gone through the same season as you. But I don't get the opportunity to blame leadership and just blame people. I'm sitting here in my season, and I'm staring at people, and I'm trying to love people. See, we both went through the same thing, and you're blaming me, but I'm biting my tongue. I'm trying to do the right thing. That's what makes it so difficult, especially with family. You're all going through the same thing, but God's requiring you, dads, to stand in the gap and not just say the right thing, but do the right thing and deliver your family into the next season. Oh, it is tough. It is difficult. And that's the weight, men, that we often feel, is that we feel alone. Now, lonely is different. Lonely is an emotion. Being alone is a fact. And so it's not something that you just need to get over. It is a fact that God will get you alone in order to show you something about himself and show you something about yourself. And so God will get David alone. And David now is staring at the faces of people that he saved. And when you have to look at the face of someone that you love, but they no longer love you, they are angry at you. That is one of the toughest seasons of life, where you would do anything to restore that relationship. But they look at you, and they got a bee in their bonnet. They got something to say. They got been gossiping about you. They've been talking about you. It happens in the church, happens in family, happens in work. And you've been hanging out at lunch break with that person for 3 years, and you found out they've been talking about you behind your back to the boss. It hurts. These men would be nothing without David. David's mighty men were broken. They were in debt. They were the worst. And David brought them and gathered them and poured into them and coached them and mentored them. But the pain of the loss made them turn on the person they loved and the person that made them who they were. That's why you got to be careful about pain, because pain will give you a perspective on something that might not be fully true. You'll make that church Satan rather than just a church that hurt you. You'll talk about that church as if they are the dragon himself. You will talk about your dad. You'll talk about someone in your life, and you'll forget the things they did do for you, because the pain will tell you a different story of who that person is. And what will that pain make you want to do? Kill them. You think that that person brought the pain. So if that person goes, the pain will go. This is deep. This is a good lesson. And so that person goes, and the pain is still there. That's why I remember a man when I grew up, his daughter was raped. He took a shotgun and took out the dude that raped his daughter. He went to prison for his whole life, and the unforgiveness still sat there, except he sat in a different place. He sat in prison. Now, I can understand that, because I can't even imagine. Some of the pain that is represented in this room is off the charts. This type of pain, these men lost their wives, they lost their baby girls, they lost their family, they lost their homes they built, they lost their memories, they lost everything. So for them, their trust was in David, and without David, they didn't know who they were. But for everyone involved, it's a situation to come up to another level, another revelation of God. But they look to David and they want to kill him. And David's going through the same pain. He's trying to find and figure out what to do. And what David, I believe, did is he's what David always did, because he had God. And even though the situation literally could not get worse, could not get any worse, is he found the place of grace in the situation. The Bible specifically says that no one was killed, but they were taken captive. So while everyone is weeping with no more power to weep, and they can't find the bodies of their wives and their kids, and they're just yearning. They're just yearning for even their pets. They're just yearning for just normalcy. They're just yearning for it. They're just trying to figure it out. They're just trying to want normal. David David's saying, yeah, but there's no bodies. And they're going, there's no bodies. And David's saying, yeah, but there's no bodies. That's grace. That's grace. That's hope. That's they might be captive and not killed. See, it takes so much faith and perspective to be the one that turns the conversation. But men, I'm telling you, if you don't hear anything else, hear this. There's an anointing upon your life to stand in that gap. I believe we live in a generation where God has raised up women like no other generation. They're leading in church, they're leading in business, and oftentimes that can cause men to kind of pull back. Hey, the job's being done. But I'm telling you, men, he's not done with you. Just because he raised up your wife or he raised up your daughter, he's also raising up you to be the man and to be the dad and to be the husband that God has called you to be. And things will turn when you decide to see grace and let go of the past. I know the journey's been tough. I know you're beating yourself up, but that's one of the things I hate. One of the phrases I hate is I feel bad. I feel bad does no one any good. Start telling you, I'm going to stop complaining and venting about feeling so bad. Well, you need to get forgiven. You need to find grace. You need to find where God has forgiven you and let you go, because you are carrying around chains and nobody cares. I know it's heavy, but you feeling bad is the martyr thing. It's Father's Day, but it's also Carrie's birthday. No, I don't care, babe. It's fine. Don't worry about it. I don't ever get a Father's Day. And then what does that mean? I don't know. I just feel bad. I just feel bad. You feeling bad does no one any good. Stop feeling bad so you can help someone else's bad. Your bad does not allow you to carry the things you need to carry. You got to find the grave. Hey, we have found no dead body. You know how much faith that takes to stand in the middle of Ziklag, burned to the ground, saying, guys, there's no bodies. I mean, I can't even preach it. It's almost like a dark comedy. Everybody's weeping. But that's what I want you to feel. I want you to feel the awkwardness of that moment where it's like, how dare you? How dare you be positive? How dare you have faith in the darkest moment? Put up Ecclesiastes. I love this verse. This verse is just kind of funny. Ecclesiastes 9:4. But for him who is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. Some of you men are going, man, I was a lion in high school. Nobody cares. I could have been a lion. I could have been a lion. Well, that lion is dead. You can't go back. I know you're a dog, but you're alive. Hallelujah. Come on, there's hope. There's hope. Quit whining and crying and complaining about the lion you used to be back in the day. Let it go and say, hold on, I'm breathing. I'm going to find the place of grace. I know there's a storm, but Jesus is on my boat. What has wreaked so much havoc in your life is that you didn't become who you thought you were called to be, and you see other men fulfilling the call of God on your life. Let it go. There is breath in your lungs. There's hope. I'm telling you, there's hope, and there's a future, and God's going to open a door. All you have to do right now is find the place of grace. Say that. I'm going to find the place of grace. I know that happened. I know I did that. I know I said that, but the grace of God, I'm going to find the grace. Hey guys, there's no bodies. That means there's captive. That means there's hope. I'd rather be a living dog than a dead lion. I'd rather let go of what's lost. God's not going to use what's dead. He's not going to use what's lost. He's going to use what you got left. He's going to use the breath in your lung and the thought. I know you messed up, but you got a few brain cells left. You got a little bit. I know you went through some things, but you got some mustard seed faith left. And Jesus said, baby, that's all you need is a little bit of faith. Is a little bit of hope, is a little bit of joy. If any man in this room got a little bit, shout a big amen. There's hope. Come on, there's hope. I found some grace. I'm letting go, and I found grace. We didn't find any bodies. That means there's hope. And everything starts with hope. Faith. I know you want faith. I want faith. That's how we move mountains. But faith is the substance of things hoped for. All good faith comes from all good hope. And this hope anchors you. It's a hope. It's hope. David says, no bodies. There's hope. There's hope. There's hope. It's not over. Say that to yourself. It's not over. It's not over. It's not over. Let it go. I know that business deal. I know. Oh my, I feel it in this room. Whew. I hate being prophetic as a preacher. I just want to preach the word of God. I can feel it in this room. You're sitting here right now thinking about that relationship that dried up, and that business deal that didn't happen, and that decision you and that Bitcoin you didn't invest in. That's a good thing. And some things that you didn't buy. You didn't buy that. So let it go. Find the grace. Find the grace. Find the grace. You're not that crazy. You're not that jacked up. Come on. You're not that angry. Come on, there's grace. Let it go. Receive the forgiveness of God. We're both weeping. We're both going through the same thing. But the weeping took the power. What takes your power is what we're talking about. It's not just what you went through. It's what you went through caused you to weep. And that weeping has taken your power. And so you don't have any power. They had no more power. Now, David and the mighty man were going through the same thing. And you're going to turn on me. It's so hard when I bit my tongue and you blamed me. But we both have nothing to give to each other. And this is what I'm talking about, dads, is when you're in the car talking about burritos and inflation and service industry, and it's silly, and you don't know what to say. Or at the height of education, and the height of what your kids are going to do, and the height of what you're going to do with your money, and the height of which house to buy, and where to go, and what to move. These are the decisions that as a man, your life will beat you both up. But as a man, you can stand in that and say, you know what, I'm going to turn this conversation. I'm going to turn my family around. I'm going to turn my ministry around. Come on. I'm going to turn my life around. God calls individuals. The Bible is full of stories of people. You have the ability to write the future of your life. You have the power today to change the future of your life. And so David is in that moment, and it's tough. There's pain. Number one, there's pain. This whole story starts with the pain train. I would rather not be on the pain train. And so when you're on the pain train, you blame people that might have put you or contributed to you in that pain. And so these men, they blame David, number one. Number two, you feel powerless. So what pain does is it causes you to weep, and then that weeping will drain your energy and you'll feel powerless. And sometimes it's delayed. You might get through 6 months and then all of a sudden that powerless, because you're so strong, and then it breaks you. Number two, powerless. Number three, personal attack. You go from pain to powerless to personal attack. And it's at this level that things really get dark. Because you can handle a certain amount of pain. You can even handle a certain amount of feeling powerless in your finances or in your relationships. But man, when it gets personal, ooh, that's when it gets real, real dark. Because we're wired, me and Jay were talking about this, we're wired to connect. We're wired. So when I lose everybody, if I lose my fireside chat with you, and we can't just talk and weep and vent, connect, and I lose that part of me. I lose every outlet that I have. But God has a plan. He's trying to get me alone to show me something about myself. And so number four is what David experienced, panic attack. Panic attack is what the Bible calls very distressed. The Bible said, well, David's experiencing the pain. He's lost both his wives. His house is burned. His men are weeping. He feels horrible. He's at the lowest point so far in his life. And then his men turn on him. And it says, David was greatly distressed. I've had two panic attacks in my life, or at least what I would deem panic attacks. I was in the shower. My whole world was falling apart. And what happens is pain hits you. Powerlessness hits you. Finances hit you. People hit you, one job opportunity, and it falls through, and then someone talks about you, and all of a sudden, see, all the things that you panic about, you fear, when you feel attacked by it, the weight of that causes you to not be able to sleep or find peace in food or money or a phone call or even prayer stuff. It's just, there's an attack on everything that causes panic in your life. So David is up under a very distressed, aka panic attack, in this moment. That's what David is going through in this moment. He's experiencing a panic attack. And even though you know that it's because these people are grieving. That's why if you lose someone in your family, typically the family will go through its darkest period because there's just grief and there's just pain and people start attacking each other. And so everybody's experiencing pain. Everybody's experiencing powerlessness. Everybody is personally attacking David. Now what happens after this panic attack of David is paralyzed sets in, and it's at that moment where you can't do anything about it, and you literally experience being paralyzed. That's what pain will do. You don't know what to do. There's nothing you can do. You're paralyzed. It's at this moment, worship team, come on up. It's at this moment when most people make the worst decisions of their lives. The worst decisions of these mighty men's life was to, like, hey, let's kill David. That's a bad idea. It's a bad idea. Most of our bad ideas come from pain, powerlessness, personal attack, panic attack, paralyzed. So there you and your wife in bed or at home and you're paralyzed. And you just stupid decisions and dumb conversations and it's a dark period because you can't move and you just your expectations on people go through the roof. Because when you're paralyzed, you're like, I can't move. Someone can help me. And when someone doesn't come by and help you, and they post their vacation from Maui on Instagram, a certain finger comes up out of your hand and your heart towards God, towards ministry, towards people, towards family. And some of us that put up our middle finger and our heart during a season 10 years ago, and we feel like someone really hurt us, and it was because we were paralyzed and we couldn't move. And the Bible says that David's experiencing all of these things. David's paralyzed because of the pain. He's laying there on the floor. He can't weep. He can't blame anybody. It's just him and God. And the Bible says that David strengthened himself in the Lord. One of the most powerful and mysterious, I think, scriptures in the Bible about David strengthening himself, just being flat out, trying to catch a breath. Oh, everything that has breath, praise the Lord. He's like, I got breath. Today is the day of salvation. Doesn't even believe it. What's he trying? He's trying to strengthen himself. He's got no strength, so he's trying to strengthen himself in the Lord. Not in chocolate, not in Netflix, not in people. He's in the Lord. So in the Lord, he's trying to strengthen himself in the Lord. All right, today the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Well, I don't even believe this. I don't feel this, but I need some strength. And I know the power of worship, and I know the power of the God that I serve, so I'm going to strengthen myself in the Lord. What we often do is we say, God, would you make me strong? And God says, I'm already strong. I need you to take my strength and strengthen yourself. This is something that you have to learn. We put this on other people, and we put this on God when God wants to show us how strong he is in us. And so he'll get us alone. This is a word for somebody. I know you felt isolated. I understand they didn't invite you, but there's greater purpose in the season that you're in. He's trying to get you alone to show you how strong he is in you. Not just your pastor, not just the church, but in you. And it's not just that I can't go with you on a Tuesday morning to shout up a voice of praise in your life, and I can't come over to eat dinner with you. It's bigger than that. It's the fact that God in you, he wants to show you how strong you are. You're not strong right now, but how strong you can be in the Lord. It's just that your faith's a little weak and your hope's a little weak, but God wants to show you he made the tree, you make the chair. We keep asking God to make chairs in our life, and he said, listen, I don't make chairs, I make trees. I've destined you to take the tree and make a chair. I'm already worthy to be praised. I'm going to show you how to be joyous in it. I've already made the day. I already made today. I made the sun come up and the moon come up. I made the trees come up. I made the clouds rain. Now you get to decide what to do with it. And David, he began to sing. He began to pray. Today is the day that the Lord has made. I will. I will is not an emotional word. It's I will. I will strengthen my faith. I will strengthen my praise. I will strengthen my prayer. I'll strengthen my word. Some of us are just weak when it comes to the things of God, but he's showing us how strong he is. He's saying, just strengthen it. He's right there. All you gotta do is strengthen your worship and strengthen your praise and strengthen your, just strengthen it. Yeah, but I don't know how. It's because it's weak. I don't know what to say. It's because it's weak. I don't know how to be vulnerable because it's weak. I don't know how to vibe with a church because it's weak. But God is saying, I'm with you. It's time to strengthen what I've already given to you. Pick it up and strengthen yourself. I don't know how to forgive myself. It's because you're weak. Yeah, but I shouldn't be weak. But you are, and it's time to work it out. It's time to pick up that weight and strengthen yourself. That's why the disciples said, well, how many reps do I need to do? Like 7? Isn't it amazing how hard it is to get in shape? It's blowing my mind. That's what we do. We're like 4 reps of forgiveness. I don't know. My muscles just aren't, you know, I have just a slow metabolism. No, you're not. You got a gym membership, but you're not working it out. So God has given you the fullness. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is on the inside of you. You have the word of God. You're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. He put a gift from the Father of heaven inside of you. He handcrafted you. You have the fingerprint of God. You've got the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And we're sitting there looking at the weights saying, God, you pick them up. He's saying, no, it's time to strengthen your faith in the Lord. Pick it up and work it. Pick up forgiveness. Jesus said, I want you to do 70 times 7 times 77 times 77, 77. Basically, Jesus is like, you got to pick up forgiveness and work out it every day. You got to receive it and give it. You got to receive it and give it. You got to receive it. I wish it was like 5 reps to build these little weenie arms. I wish I could walk around. People are like, Isaac, how'd you get it? 3 days in the gym. My 6-pack. Want to do some laundry, babe? 7 days. How long does it take? Man, it's a lifestyle. It's daily. But some of us, we come off of Christmas. We're sweating out gravy. We put on our tight little outfits. Little love handles are showing. I'm like, I think I'm good. I think I'm good. We haven't been strengthening ourselves. Ourselves. Do I sound like a Buddhist right now? Some of us have gone to such extremes in our New Testament Christianity. You want to correct me. Brother, it's not by works. It's not by works. True. All by God. All by his grace. But faith without works is dead. A faith that doesn't know how to work is dead. God sent me to tell you this morning that it's time to awaken the praise inside of you. Men, you're about to discover the strength of God on the inside of you. You're about to experience the strength of prayer on the inside of you. Some of you men have been looking for a mentor, and God's saying, I'm with you. You are not alone. It's time to begin to strengthen your praise and your prayer and your joy and your perspective and your vulnerability and your worship and your life. It's time to work it out. It's time to move. It's time to pick it up. Pick up that weight and move. Pick it up. Pick it up. You got it. You got it. You got it. Work it. Work it. Work it. You got it. You got it. You got it. You got it. You move it. I'm strengthening myself. I got it. I'm going to strengthen myself. I gotta strengthen my faith. I'm gonna strengthen my worship. I'm gonna strengthen my marriage. Strengthen your marriage. Strengthen your prayer. Strengthen it. about to show you. He's about to show you. He's about to show you how strong he is. He got you alone. He didn't leave you. He didn't forsake you. I know some people left you. I know it's been hard. But God's about to show you the power of who he is when you're alone in the valley of the shadow of death. He's about to show you. Do you know what conferences are? They're just spiritual workouts. It's amazing, youth camp's coming up. It's amazing to me, at the end of 3 days, 4 days, young people are like, wow, I feel like I have such faith. I wonder what it was. You just strengthen your faith muscles, buddy. You left your cell phone at home. You left culture at home. And you came and worked out praise and worked out faith and worked out your testimony and worked out your identity in Christ. It's time to strengthen ourselves. It's time to strengthen ourselves. Even at the bottom of a panic attack, I'm not against medication. I'm not against facilities. I am for them. But David had none of them. And it shows us the power of the tongue. It shows us the power of what he thought about. It shows us the power of how you can tap into a living God in the middle of your lowest moment. You can literally begin to praise, and you can begin to see God. But here's the deal. You need strength. The Bible says once David got strength, then he prayed. He didn't pray before this. He strengthened himself in the Lord. See, we tell a lot of people to do stuff. Hey, you need to do this and you need to do that, but they don't have any power. We ought to be telling people, you need to strengthen yourself in the Lord. You need to strengthen yourself in the Lord. Yeah, but I don't believe he loves me. You need to strengthen that. I don't know if I'm forgiven. Oh, you need to strengthen that. Like, I can take off my shirt and know what to strengthen. My diet is one of them. Your soul has a mirror. There's some things like pastors and mentors and the Word of God that will show you where you're at. And you need to strengthen that. You need to strengthen your worship. You need to strengthen that. You need to strengthen that. No one else is coming. No one else is coming. You need to strengthen yourself. I love this. David, number one, he poured into himself. He poured into himself. Maybe you need to get those books, those podcasts. I know you've been waiting for a mentor, but strengthen yourself. I know you've been waiting for something to happen. Strengthen yourself, says the Lord. I'm with you, says the Lord. My spirit is with you, says the Lord. My word is with you. Strengthen, work it, move it, lift that thing, lift that trial, lift that, lift it, work it, move it, bring purpose to that pain. You got this, you got hope, you can take the step, you can walk in it, you got it. David poured into himself, then he prayed. He strengthened himself, then he prayed. Number three, God spoke and said, pursue. You got to pour into yourself. You got to take all that God has given to you and get it in you. Work it. You got to work it. You got to use it. Some of you have been sitting on a gift for 10 years. You got to use it. You got to use it. You got to work it. He prayed. He pursued. And then number four was people. When you are in motion, then God will send someone to help you. We want number four to be number one. Because so many of us are stuck back at summer camp. When someone called you out and said there's a call of God on your life. And so when we hit a trial in our adult years, we think God does that and God goes, no, you're the leader now. You got to pull it out of yourself. I sent someone years ago as a prophet to pull you and call you and anoint you. But now it's time for you to take that anointing and strengthen yourself. It's time to take that word. You don't need another prophetic word. Go grab that prophetic word, dust it off, and claim it over your life. I want to sing. I want to go out of here with awake. I want to awaken this. But just close your eyes for a minute. Just if you're going through some pain, just raise your hand. You're going through some pain. If you're going through some powerlessness, just raise your hand. Man, I just feel some powerlessness in my life. If you're going through some personal attack, just raise your hand. If you've even on maybe a scale of some panic attack, just raise your hand. If you feel paralyzed, just raise your hand. Holy Spirit. If you be so bold, I just want to break this thing off. We're going to have like 2 more minutes of church. If you raise your hand, just come on up here. Our team's up here. Just get to the front. Just get to the front. Just get to the front. Just step out of your seat. Prayer team, come on up. Just come on up to the aisle. Just come up to the altar. If you're just in any bit of pain and any bit of powerlessness and just any bit of personal weight, we probably all could just be up here. I just want, as this team's about to bust this thing through and the Holy Spirit's just about to fill you. The Holy Spirit's about to fill you. Just come on up. Just come on. It's going to be a family moment. It's Father's Day. We want our Heavenly Father to just heal our hearts and touch our lives. And He's just showing us who He is and showing us how He created us to be. There's so much inside of us. Your soul's about to awaken. Your soul's about to awaken. Life's about to come. Holy Spirit's about to fill this place. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, right now. Life. Thank you, Holy Ghost. He's about to awaken. He's about to awaken. Right now, anoint. Thank you, Jesus. Life, miracles, power, healing. Right now. Right now. Right now. Holy Spirit, right now. Let your fire just fall. Oh, let your fire just fall. From the front to the back. Let the power of God, let the life of God, let the fire of the Holy Spirit fill this place. Let life, let healing, let power, let hope, let joy come into this place right now. Let God begin to awaken. Let God begin to awaken this room.
The sound of His people.
Dreams. Fresh dreams, fresh dreams. He's not done with you. He's not done with you. Anoint her. Anoint the gift of God inside of her. Thank you, Jesus. Anoint the gift of God. Anoint the wisdom. He's not done. Oh, He's not done. Let the hand of God. Let the hand of God. Oh, He's awaken. Awaken. Dreams are being awakened. Dreams are being awakened. Joy is being awakened.
Begin to praise Him. My soul is singing.
awakening dreams and awakening future. He's awakening you right now. Life, take hold of it, take hold of it, take hold of it, take hold of it. There's seeds of faith, there's seeds of hope. Take hold of it, take hold of it, take hold of it. There's seeds of hope. Mix it with some faith. Say, yeah, 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 yeah. Lord, do it, Lord, do it. Lord, heal, Lord, heal. Lord, open that door, Lord, open that door. Lord, send that person. Lord, I need life. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Fill this room. Faith, faith is rising and hope is rising and dreams are rising and future is rising. Miracles are rising. Oh, if you need a miracle in this room, open up your heart and say, Lord, would you heal? Would you touch? But even right now, open up heaven. Open up heaven. Open up heaven. Bring down your glory. Bring down your power. Bring down miracles. Bring down the air. Bring it down. Let your power fall in this room. Let your power fall in this room. Holy Spirit, just fill every person. We'll close with this. Just ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. Holy Spirit, just fill me. Holy Spirit, just fill me. Just ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. Holy Spirit, just fill me. We ask you for miracles. We ask you for wisdom. Are you ready? Are you ready? God said, are you ready? Are you ready? Write it down. Pray it through. Use it. Work it. Some of you, God is strengthening. And God say, now it's time to pray. I want you to use that strength to seek me. I love this. David strengthened himself. And then he goes, all right, I'm going to use this strength to pray. I'm going to use this strength to seek God. I'm going to use this strength to get the plan. I need the plan of God. I need the word of God. Ultimately, I need God to speak and to lead. Some of you are going to be seeking God like you've never sought him. God's going to give you a word. You're going to run. You're going to pursue. You're going to get into motion. You're going to get into direction. You're going to get into purpose. And then God's going to begin to bring supernatural kingdom connections around you. You're going to begin to recover all, says the Lord. You're going to begin to recover all. And it starts with people who can stand in the gap and begin to use what God has given us. Begin to use what God has given you. Begin to use what God has given you. Begin to use the gifts that God has given to you. Begin to use the time that God has given to you. Begin to use the resource that God has given you. God said, I've anointed you. I've called you. You haven't seen anything yet. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. I'm about to put my hand on you like never before. I have sustained you. I have kept you, I have called you, and now I'm about to open up the doors, says the Lord. Get ready, I have held you, I have covered you, I have healed you, I have sustained you. I'm now about to thrust you into your future. I'm about to open up heaven. I'm about to anoint you. I'm about to send my spirit upon you, says the Lord, to bind up the brokenhearted and to heal the sick and to proclaim. Get ready, says the Lord, for a fresh anointing, a fresh wind, a fresh fire, a fresh blessing to bring glory to my name and recover everything that the enemy has stolen. In the name of Jesus. Give them some praise. Give them some praise. Give them some praise. Thank you, Jesus. I really feel prophetically we're at step number one. God said, are you going to strengthen yourself? Yes, Lord. Are you going to let go of the lie that you need a financial wizard to come into your life? I'd love that. But man, God didn't bring anybody. And he's like, son, strengthen yourself. Strengthen yourself. I'm telling you right now, you're about to really like you. God is genius. Because when you strengthen yourself in the Lord, you go, I'm pretty good at money. Pretty good. Who knew? When you begin to strengthen your leadership and your faith in the Lord, you're going to start to like you. Trust me, you don't want me to be your strength. I'm a horrible you. You're a great you. It's not going to take that long. And you're going to walk with purpose. And then people like-minded, in motion like you, are going to come alongside. God said, be faithful with it. I'm sending the Jonathans in front of you. I'm sending the Egyptians in front of you. I'm sending people to come alongside of you. But they are not your God. They are not your deliverer. They're help. Come on. Isn't that a good word? It's good. It's good. I preached myself happy, and now we're going to go get some ribs. I love y'all so much. Happy Father's Day to every father in this room. We love you. We're with you. You're not alone. Your best days are ahead of you. Now go eat some meat. Amen. We love you so much. Yeah.